Thank you very much, operator. Welcome. Good morning from my side. I'm together with Thomas Obendrauf and Stephanie Kniep from Investor Relations. Thank you for joining us for the third quarter result announcement for investors and analysts. The market environment for 2018 has been so far a challenging one, pretty much as we have outlined already over the last 18 months. And I think given this context, we feel that the results that we present are very solid. We did experience over the first 9 months of this year a revenue decline of 5%, mainly triggered by prices on the viscose side, to a smaller extent from volumes, in part due to unplanned shutdown and partly planned shutdown now in the third quarter. EBITDA down by almost 27% versus the same period of last year. It's 290 million euro next to the viscose prices. It was particularly also the raw material side, and there's specifically caustic that continued to sail at a very high level that put pressure on result. And in this context, I think the balance sheet continues to be very strong with an equity ratio at almost 60%, at the net financial debt of 121 million is pretty much the level that we paid out as dividend in the second quarter. The implementation of our Score 10 strategy continues to go well. We're very pleased with the specialty rate now year to date at 44%. Same period last year was still at 41%. And there specifically the specialty prices that continue to outperform the viscose in terms of trend, and I think we feel that we have been quite successful in uncoupling those prices from the viscose up and downs. Our innovations also continue to do very well. I want to make a specific comment to Ecovero that is absolutely beating our expectations, and we see a very strong uptake specifically due to all the efforts that we take in the industry in positioning us as a sustainability leader. And I think in the light of that, also the launch of a new brand architecture is very positive. The ramp up of the third line at Heiligenkreuz is as per plan, and we will have for the full year of 2019 then the 25,000 tons available, and we are now already supplying well into the market. As announced, we temporarily mothballed our mobile project in Alabama, and the greenfield project in dissolved wood pulp continues as per plan, where we will take a decision in the second half of 2019. We did announce a couple of days back that we are in the process of acquiring the 30% stake of NCFC, our minority partner at our Nanjing operations, and that paves the way for us transforming Nanjing into a specialty fiber hub on the medium to long run. Looking a little bit at the market environment, competing fibers, polyester saw a strong spike up in the third quarter, very much fueled by raw material positions and issues in the polyester chain and strong demand. Since then, prices did come back down in part, but still at a very high level compared to recent history. In cotton, we saw some 10% price drop in the third quarter versus the highs in the second quarter, specifically as the harvesting period began, and I think also some of the nervosity that we see as a consequence of the U.S.-China discussions. Viscose continued to be pretty volatile, more to that in a second. Focusing now on the cotton market, we did see, as I mentioned before, in Q3 prices declining. We are now slightly below the 90 cents a pound mark, particularly as the harvesting period began. And we do see, particularly on international markets, where volume that was destined for China seeking new outlets causing some price pressure there. When we look at the outlook for the season, we see consumption continue to grow. We expect more than 27 million ton demand at slightly reduced supply, and as a consequence, we expect stocks to continue to come down, specifically in China. And if you look at the chart, you see that the China inventory is getting back to a level that it was in 2011 when we saw absolute peak prices in cotton. Turning over to the viscose staple fiber market, 2018 has been so far a rather difficult year for viscose. After price lows in July, we did see prices to come coming back up north of the 15,000 RMB mark, since then again going down a little bit. However, in the same period, the RMB weakened substantially, and that paired together with an ongoing pressure from the raw material side, viscose conversion margins remain very meager, and the industry is having a pretty, I think, tough time. Utilization rates are, frankly, compared to what we would have expected, not too bad, climbed up to 90% level, because demand on the one hand is strong, but next to that, versus these enormous announcements that we saw still some 18 months back, were well north of 1 million tons for this year. We have guided in the 600 to 900,000 ton corridor. We actually see now the net volume that will enter the market to be more in the 600,000 ton range. The price development for Lenzing specialty fibers continues to be very positive. And on the next slide now, you see on one index chart how actually we have been sailing with our specialties versus cotton and versus viscose, starting from January 17. What you see over this period that on a 6 months rolling average, our Lenzing specialties continue to go up, 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 and same period, viscose continued to go down. So where in the past, we always had a viscose plus pricing, if you remember, in the 13, 14, 15 period. When we started to uncouple it, we always said 18 will be an important year of proving that our specialty strategy really works. And I think if you just take the delta here of north of 20% and that now on a 44% rate of specialty as a percentage of the overall, I think that indicates that our strategy is absolutely working. An important part of our strategy is also everything to do with branding, and there specifically the sustainability angle. We are, given the last 3 years, absolutely recognized as the sustainability trailblazer in the industry. We are invited to numerous conferences in the industry, outside the industry. You see here a couple of pictures from the China Textile and Garment Industry Forum, the Sustainability Fashion Week, whether it's the Worldwide World Economic Forum, whether it is this, the Cellulosic Conference that I just attended. Lenzing today is seen as the company that very much is on leading edge when it comes to sustainability, and that helps our total corporate positioning and even more so our product brands. You see on the next page the Tencel brand activation initiatives, some pictures there. We have been increasingly present at some of the leading fashion shows, particularly also in regions where we feel it really matters for us. You see in India the Lakmé Fashion Week. You see in Istanbul the Mercedes-Benz Fashion Week that we have been co-hosting, co-organizing, as well as the Denim Day festivals. We also have been sponsoring, and it's maybe more from an Austrian angle, the Austrian climbing team, and we are very proud that they actually got a number of gold medals. And as this will be an Olympic event, we feel that for the investment that we do, we get a lot of returns. A couple of words on our investment program. The pulp investment continues as planned. We will have the 35,000 tons from our 2D bottlenecking project in Lenzing and Pskov available next year. The Lenzing debottlenecking in the first half already, the Pskov towards the end of 19. And as I mentioned before, the Brazil project continues as per plan. We did actually sort of pass a couple of very important milestones when it comes to agreements with authorities, with local communities, in terms of getting the permits, securing the land, securing all the forest that we had there. We received also some of the antitrust clearance that were just not an issue, but important steps. So we are in a good way there, and we expect that after the basic engineering, we will take the investment decision in the second half of next year. On our LiveCell investment program, as we had a separate call, maybe not a lot to say, just to repeat, we did temporarily mothball the U.S. LiveCell investment. Really, the combination of the two elements, the one hand, the trade tensions, the consequence, the looming tariffs that elevated the project risks, and the very buoyant U.S. labor market, where we just saw offers coming in from contractors and suppliers that were just substantially away from where we actually projected the project to be. We've taken the decision to mothball it. We're now in the process of just securing that we can restart the project whenever we want. We are also revisiting this decision, as I indicated, on a regular basis, and consequently also no one-time write-offs. I already mentioned that the ramp-up in Heiligenkreuz is going well as per plan, and we're now putting not only focus on our Thailand project, but investigating how we can bring LiveCell capacity next to Thailand into the market. But this investigation, I think, will only be finished in the first half of next year. Then, before we go to the financials, a couple of words to the acquisition of the 30% of our Nanjing operation. We know that China will be a core part of our operation strategy on the long run. We need to have a hub where we can invest in Modal, where we can invest in LiveCell on the long run. We have now some 600 people in Nanjing. This is a very well-run operation there. We are now already producing Ecovero in Nanjing, and over the long run, we will bring Modal. We also plan to bring LiveCell to China, but we could only do that if we actually have full ownership of this site, IP reasons, but also, I think, avoiding any struggles in the board of this joint venture. So it's not that this was the first time that we tried it, but you need to have not only a willing buyer, you need to have also a willing seller, and that was just the moment now, and I think the transaction is not closed yet, but we expect in the next pretty much days the transaction to be closed. Upon closure, we will have approximately 21 million negative one-time impact on financial results and consequently net profit, but no negative impact on EBITDA and EBIT. With that, over to you, Thomas, to take us through some of the financials.
Thank you, Stefan. Hello and welcome also from my side. So let me guide you through the most important financial numbers for Q3 and for the first 9 months of 2018. Let me start with revenues. Revenues in Q3 came in with 560.9 million euros. That compares to 577.5 million in Q3 2017. The small decrease of less than 3% actually is basically caused by slightly lower sales volume, as also can be seen from changes in inventories. Looking at the numbers for the first 9 months, actually we are now at a level of 1,636 million compared to 1,726 the year before. That is a decrease of slightly more than 5%. The decrease basically due to lower prices, which again are mostly currency related, and to a small extent actually the decrease is due to lower sales volume. With regards to the specialty fibers share, we are now at the level of 44.1%. That compares to 41% in the year before. Moving on to EBITDA, actually in Q3 came in with 95.8 million That compares to 126.4 in the year before. EBITDA margin now is at 17.1% compared to 21.7% in Q3 2017. Actually, the decrease basically driven on the one side by a slightly lower sales volume. We also had a slightly lower pulp volume in Q3, actually, because a shutdown that usually takes place in October was brought forward to September this year for technical reasons. And of course, as already highlighted by Stefan, actually, raw material prices are significantly higher than in the year before. Of course, here to mention caustic, and especially caustic in Europe, but also just taking a look at pulp prices, which are now on a higher level than in the year before. And last but not least, of course, salaries and wages have also increased due to inflation, but also due to build-up of headcount. Looking at the first 9 months, actually, we are now at 290 million EBITDA compared to 397 in the year before. The decrease here, of course, as already mentioned, due to lower volume, but also due to lower prices on the sales side, but also on due to higher raw material costs. And here again, of course, it's about caustic and pipe. Let me move on now to EBIT. Actually, of course, we see the same development there. We are now at 61.6 million compared to 94.2. EBIT margin now at 11% in Q3 compared to 16.3% the year before. And for the first 9 months, we are now at 190 million with an EBIT margin of 11.6 compared to 298 million euros the year before, and an EBIT margin of 17.3%. Moving on to net profit and earnings per share, Q3 came in with 42.5 million compared to 69 million the year before. Of course, all the reasons that are elaborated for EBITDA, of course, also are applicable here. Earnings per share for Q3 is now at 1.62 euro compared to 2.57 euro in the year before. For the first 9 months, we are now at net profit of 133.8 million compared to 219 the year before. Earnings per share now at 5.06 compared to 8.12 the year before. Moving on to some balance sheet numbers. And let me start here with net financial debt. Net financial debt came slightly down. We are currently at the level of 121 million, so on a very solid level. And also with regards to the equity ratio, we are again at the level of around 60%, so actually a very, very solid balance sheet. Last but not least, a couple of words on cash flow and trading working capital. Of course, gross cash flow came down in line with net profit, of course. With regard to the operating cash flow, please keep in mind that actually in the last year, in the second half of last year, actually we discontinued our factoring program, and this becomes obvious when you look at the operating cash flow. There was quite some impact out of this of the factoring program that was basically stopped. With regards to the trading working capital, actually, as in the quarters before, actually, we are hovering around a level of slightly more than 400 million. So actually, no big changes there. So overall, from my perspective, I think a very solid result in a demanding market environment. And with that, I hand back to Stefan for the outlook.
Thank you very much, Thomas. So 2018 proved to be a challenging year so far as we forecasted it to be. In an environment where the fiber market remains quite positive, and specifically the demand for wood-based cellulosic fibers continues to be high, we have and continue to see quite some pressure on the cost side from the raw materials, as well as due to lower utilization rates from the price side. Our specialty fibers continue to do very well, and I think in this challenging environment, we think that the results so far underscore the outlook that we have given and that we reiterate. It will not be the record years of 16-17, but it will be a very solid set of numbers. I think we are very well positioned with our strategy, and then also taking some words and some look into 2019. 2019, we don't see a substantially changed picture to what we did see at the same moment almost a year ago, looking at 18. We continue to see capacity coming into the viscose market, so price pressure will remain in viscose. The dimension of the capacity that will be added will also not be substantially different to what we did expect for this year. Maybe we will not end guide, and that will be something that we will share at the full year result. At the higher end of the capacity additions, it will be closer to the lower end of the capacity additions, but we will continue to see oversupply. Raw materials, we also don't expect any substantial change. We would expect, if there is a change, more pressure on the pulp side, because particularly on the paper pulp side, we see an ongoing trend for very high prices that I think will tempt the one or the other swing mill to maybe switch to paper grade rather than to stay on dissolved wood pulp prices. So we wouldn't be surprised to see even stronger pulp prices in this region. So we expect viscose margins to remain under pressure. We will continue to go ahead with our way on the specialty fibers. We still you know, see our pricing power or our price ambition on the specialty side not at an end, and continue to sail ahead in this direction. So overall, 18 will be a solid year, not as good as 16-17, and I think what we are at the moment seeing also doesn't give us a very different picture for 2019. With that, I would like to finish our elucidation and open up the call for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. Please limit yourself to two questions only so that everybody has a chance to ask a question. Should there be time left, we can start a second Q&A session. One moment for the first question, please. The first question is from the line of Matthias Fleifenberger of DB. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Stephanie Jens. Two questions from my side, please. Firstly, on the fourth quarter, I mean, we're quite advanced from a time perspective. So maybe give us some updates there. What's the margin implications? Any sequential weakening there versus the Q3? And is there just remind us of the seasonal pattern? So basically, maybe you can just make the guidance a bit more tangible at this stage. And then on the supply demand situation, I think if you're looking at the 600,000 tons, it's roughly double of what the demand growth has been at around 6%. So the utilization rates obviously came down, but they're still above 90%, as you explained. So is this an evidence that the Chinese suppliers are basically still trying to keep pricing power? And also looking at the viscose price, they trended up again in the last couple of quarters. And then you were also saying that you don't expect this picture to change a lot in 2019. So in that scenario, I mean, would it be fair to say you're aiming at keeping earnings flat or keeping this 90 million plus EBITDA run rate per quarter as the goal for 2019? Thanks a lot.
Okay, maybe to to the fourth quarter. Q4 is typically a low season quarter, so towards the end of the year and then particularly towards Chinese New Year, this is the period where we see commodity viscose prices to typically come down. We also saw some of that already. However, given the cost that I think the industry has so far, there is not a lot of room to go down before you hit cash break evens at quite a number of players. So I think Thomas already mentioned the shutdown that we have in Paskov was taken in the third quarter, so we don't expect any shutdowns or so on in the fourth quarter. But overall, we don't expect a fundamentally different picture as what we have seen now in the last 2 quarters. With respect to supply demand for next year, it's pretty much as you outlined it, Mr. Pfeifenberger. Indeed, we are seeing more capacity being added than demand can absorb it, not at the astronomical rates as were indicated. And as a consequence, however, we would expect utilization rates to continue to drop rather than necessarily to stay stable. It is difficult, frankly, to say, yeah, that's why prices will remain stable. Frankly, from all just logic that you can deduct in terms of, okay, if you're going below cash break-even or below break-evens, yeah, we will not see the industry prices go down. I would be very careful with these kind of general assumptions because history has proven us wrong with that. And we have seen even over some 18 months where the industry went into negative cash territory just to defend market shares. So overall, for 19, we just expect viscose to remain difficult. How difficult? I think is difficult to assess. The one thing that I just want to mention is, yes, RMB prices went up. However, a lot of the raw material, specifically pulp, is being bought in dollars. And if you look at the exchange rates, RMB dollars, you recognize that margins are under quite some pressure because we, frankly, on the same exchange rate, we are more in the 13,500 territory than in the 15,000 territory at the moment on pricing. So that is important to bear in mind. So at the moment, and that is not something that we expect to change in the coming quarters, viscose margins are depressed and will remain depressed.
Okay, so just to summarize, it's basically if supply growth outpaces demand growth by basically a factor of 2 times, then it's very likely utilization rates go below 90 and they lose a bit of pricing power, viscose prices go down, and then you have the cost inflation point from the pulp side, and that obviously paints the picture for 2019, right?
I would agree with all, then necessarily prices will come down because again, this is a bit crystal ball gazing, but utilization will go down. Is there a lot of room that prices can go further down by economic logic? No, but we will see.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks a lot.
The next question is from the line of Sebastian Bray of Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my questions. I would have two, please. I appreciate it was mentioned earlier that Lenzing is still in the process of evaluating opportunities to add volume separately to the U.S. over the next few years. But is there any potential for volume growth beyond the debottlenecking at Heiligenkreuz over the next 2 years in specialty fibers, or is it just the best approach at this stage to assume that volumes are flat? That is my first question. The second, and apologies in advance if you can't tell me anything on this, concerns some of the headlines around your anchor shareholder. I'm not going to ask you to comment on rumors or speculation. I just want to know, have you taken any legal advice on if a bid for the remaining non-BNC shares would be required if the ownership of the BNC Foundation were to change? Thank you.
Number one, I think it is a fair assumption in your models that for 19 and 20, don't expect any additional lyocell capacities hitting the market. The 25,000 tons that we have started up, I think, as I elucidated, they will be full available as of next year. This year is still only a smaller impact because we have been in the startup mode, and I think with that we should leave it in the models. Now, with respect to our anchor shareholder, apologies, Mr. Bray, I will not comment on anything that has to do with any investor that has shares in Lenzing. That is something BNC should comment on, and on any internal processes, I will not comment.
Right. Sorry, as a quick follow-up, do you have any quantitative data on what the impact in kilotons was of the Paskov outage in Q3?
I would take Paskov just as minor impact, few kilotons, because this will be more in the towards the end of 19, and I think for Lenzing, it's safe to assume that you will have it half a year running.
Okay, thank you.
Again, if you have a question, please press star, then one. The next question is from the line of Laura Lopez-Panini of Paid Bank. Please go ahead.
So two questions from my side regarding capacity utilization rates. So I know in Lyocell at the moment they are very high, but I just want to confirm if excluding the 25 KT, which you are ramping now, do you still have some space to grow volume-wise next year from your current capacity utilization rates, or it's more pricing, again, rising or stable? And secondly, regarding the 21 million negative impact that you will have in the fourth quarter, is this cash relevant? And maybe can you explain where is this impact coming from? And maybe a third one, if it's possible, Tencel looks. So when will the second pilot plant will be ready? And I know in the past you had also plans for a bigger investment, so for a bigger plant there. Is this something that you're still considering, and when will we get more information about that? Thanks.
Okay. I will take first question one and question three, and then I will pass over to Thomas concerning the 21 million impact. In terms of the utilization rates, I think some capacity creep can always be assumed just as part of normal learning curve, but nothing, I think, substantial. The 25,000 tons, as I said, is something that will be there. In terms of Tencel-Lux, I think we will finalize the investment towards the end of the year, so and started up then in the beginning of 2020. Indeed, we are planning to also invest in a larger scale facility. However, we felt it is now important also from an ability to scale then the new plant better to first take this intermediate step. And I think any announcements on the large Lux facility, I would not expect in the course of next year. Thomas, maybe on the
21 million with regards to the acquisition of the remaining 30% in our Chinese operation. Actually, what is behind that is, yes, of course, this is a cash item. So actually, we will be paying for the shares, of course. And the background is what you find in the balance sheet under putable non-controlling interest. That's actually mainly for our Chinese operation. And with this payment, actually, this item will basically be gone out of our balance sheet. But at the end of the day, of course, it's a cash item.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I hand back to Stefan Dabalski for closing comments.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us on such an exciting day with midterm election results at the Lansing call. I wish you a very good day and looking forward to talk to you soon. Thank you very much.